Hey y'all, to the Figuring It Out With You podcast duo, where we're in a with each other and you all, just trying to figure out how to make the most of the life we've all been given.
I'm Kim.
And I'm Kay.
And let's get this conversation started for today.
Hey y'all, welcome back to the Figuring It Out With You podcast with your favorite mother-daughter duo, where we're in an ever-growing conversation with each other and you all, just trying to figure out how to make the most of the life we've all been given.
I'm Kim.
And I'm Kay.
And let's get this conversation started for today.
So today, y'all, we're going to be talking about something that, it can be sensitive for people. We're talking about like family hurt and forgiveness specifically. With the holidays coming up, we know that for a lot of people, it just brings up the relationships that maybe have fallen by the wayside or the relationships that you don't have. And maybe it's harder to think about the good. And so we're trying to think about like, what does forgiveness look like in this this area of life? And how can we like work on it?
Yeah, family hurt. Hey, that's a real, real deep and intense conversation, because you want to feel close to your family. Mm-hmm. And when your family does something to hurt you and there is a divide or disconnect, it's hard to heal from that. It's hard to get over that. It's hard to move forward from that. I can definitely relate. I have some situations that I'm still working on, and I have to pray daily for God to give me wisdom. But as far as family goes, you only get one, and the one that you got, God placed you in that family. I've heard people say you can pick your friends, but you cannot pick your family. We got to learn how to work together and get over it. It's not to say not to dismiss your feelings or how you felt. A lot of times we be dealing with issues and be upset, and the other party don't even know what they did to us. They don't know that they've offended us. So, can you think of a time that you had hurt from your family?
Think of a time I had hurt from my family.
In any ways that you cope with it, or if you're still dealing with it, because I know I can talk about mine. I give you time to think. growing up, my father was absent from the house. He was having a lot of altercations with law enforcement. He would go on vacation several times. That's what we used to say in our house, vacation, but he was incarcerated. So I didn't really feel close to him because he was absent a lot. But when I turned about 13, I think he got out of prison. He had been in prison the majority of my life. I had one memory of him when I was maybe about 5. And I don't know what he had did, but my uncle was very upset with him. And I remember my uncle running out the door of his apartment, and my dad drove off. Later on that day, I remember standing at the bus stop with my mom. And it's like yesterday, it was a Coca-Cola bottle that I had, and I was like shaking. It kept hitting my teeth. But piecing that day together, my dad had did something to upset my uncle. He ended up going to jail that day. And my mom and I had to stand at the bus stop to ride the bus back home to Scottsdale, Georgia from Lithonia. And I said all that to say, I gave y'all the backstory because I need you to understand that I was not close to my dad. It was me and my mom and my siblings growing up, much like my children. It's been me and them and God. So I wasn't close to my dad. When he got out, I was 13 years old. Felt like I really didn't need a dad. Was kind of resentful for the times that he had missed. Plus, I felt like as children, we really take more than we should. I was upset for the way he treated my mom. I was upset for him being absent from the family. So I had a lot of baggage as it relates to my dad. So at the age of 13, he's home every single day. And we trying to get through it, trying to learn each other. Immediately I felt like I did not like him because of all the baggage that I was carrying. So fast forward to today, I'm 45 years old. Me and my dad still don't have the best relationship. The only thing that really connected my dad and I was my mother. And she passed away in 2000. So today is what, 2023? Mm-hmm. 23 years of me trying to have a relationship, a productive, fruitful relationship with my dad. Not just a relationship, because you have a relationship with your coworkers, you know, but a real, genuine, loving father-daughter relationship. And I'm still working on it. There's still some things inside of me that say, you know, still upset about that, but I can recognize the feelings. I'm not in denial about it, and just as well as I need to forgive him, I'm sure there's some things that he needs to forgive me for, because we only see our side, we don't see the other side, you know. So I think that just recognizing the feelings and wanting to do better. You know, a lot of times, just the thought in our heart of wanting to do and be better, that activates God to move for us on that in regards to that situation. So, thinking about the holidays, I can say that I do love my dad. I also can say that we're not as close as we should be. I would wish and hope that we could have a beautiful holiday season with full of gifts and joy and laughter. And maybe we will. Who knows? God, only God knows. I would like to have that, but I don't want it to be fake. I want it to be real. So,
yeah. What do you feel like is the biggest barrier to like forgiving for you personally?
Just when you're having so many years of traumatic instances and traumatic situations to happen, and life is still going, the term these days is life be lifing, and it really, really, really be lifing. I think that I have not had the opportunity to actually express all of my feelings because I still had to get up every day and go to work. I still had to get up and take care of my family, my children, you know, and I may use my family as an excuse not to have to be bothered with that or not to have to deal with that, in all honesty. It's easy to throw yourself into the thing that you want to do versus the thing that you need to do. You know, I got clothes that I need to hang up right now, and I know I need to hang them up, but I would much rather spend time laughing with my kids. And so I think that that's been the biggest barrier, just prioritizing it. Mm. So even me saying it is feeling like some healing is taking place. So what about you guys? How do you deal with hurt? Do you deal with hurt? Yeah. Or do you just let it sit there? Because one thing about hurt, if it's unmanaged, untreated, just left alone, it'll grow into resentment, it'll grow into anger, it'll grow into rage. And you do not want rage. Rage is just what it sounds like, rage. So I just encourage everyone to verbalize their thoughts and feelings. Write it down if you can't talk about it. Figure out a plan. How are you going to attack that problem? Because we need our family. We need each other.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like for me, it's kind of interesting. I was thinking, I feel like I can't think of too many instances where I'm, or like, I don't think I have as much experience with like some big thing that has spanned several years. So I don't feel like I have like so many really big things to address or forgive with people. But I do think that like it takes me some time usually to forgive like small things that might happen like day to day. And I think maybe what usually is a barrier to that forgiveness is feeling like, which is kind of obvious, feeling like it could have been avoided, or feeling like people kind of like did it maliciously. So I feel like a lot of the stuff that I usually get hurt by, it wasn't really like malicious. It was kind of just like people living their life the way they know best to live it, and me seeing it as like it having a negative effect on me, and me seeing that as like they made a conscious choice to do this, knowing that it would have a negative effect on me. And so I think that for me, I usually just have to remind myself that, which my mom told me all my life growing up, and I'm still like, it's not really clicking some a lot of times, that we all just live life from our own perspective. So you can't expect people to like do, act how you're gonna act. You know, like you can't expect people to like think through Mikaela's lens, right, when they're not you. They're literally their own person. Right. And so to assume that they did this thing maliciously, when maybe like she was saying earlier, maybe they don't even know the effect it had on you. So then how could it have been purposeful? So that's for me like something I'm trying to learn about, like how to see people's actions as not like a malicious thing, but then also to be able to talk about it. I think a big part of forgiveness is like actually addressing it in the moment, because when it builds up, like she was saying, it's not good. So, and also like, I feel like what I do is I just take all these small little moments over time, and I'm like, see, this person, they are the worst. You know, and just like, I have this kind of like archetype with them that doesn't, is not really that like fair, because I've never talked to them about any of these things, but I've just lumped them all together as all the time they've tried to sabotage me.
Right.
Yeah.
And the best advice someone gave me, it was actually recently, was my supervisor at work. And we were talking about a personal issue. And he said to me, tell the person how you felt about it and give them the opportunity to correct it. Because it's not fair for you to be holding them upset about this situation when you have not given them the opportunity to correct it. If you talk about it and you give them the opportunity to correct it and the behavior continues to happen, okay, at that point then you need to know, okay, I need to make some changes within myself. But if you never talk about it and you just got this invisible checklist in your mind, thinking about the 15, 20, 30,000 things that this person had never said or did to have a negative impact on you, but they have no idea about it. They're oblivious to the fact. That's not fair. Mm-hmm. That's not fair. And I would like to talk about Mikaela. We actually had this instance that happened this morning. Growing up, if y'all can believe, Mikaela did not speak at all. True. That's complete. When I tell people that know her today that she did not speak at all, they are like just dumbfounded. But even simple things like go pay for the movie tickets. I remember one time I asked her to go because we were like running late for the movie. I'm like, okay, Mikaela, you jump out, go pay for the tickets, and we can just, you know, get out the car and run to, you know, into the movie. And she's like, I'm not talking to those people. I don't know those people. Those strangers. But today, you can't pay her to stop talking. But growing up, she was a very, now that I know, her spirit is very sensitive. She's always had a heart for people. And a lot of times when people are, I think they call them empaths, where they actually can feel other people's issues and things like that. She's that type of person. Even when she was a little girl, I remember we was on the water train one day. Any type of negative spirit, anything, anybody not right, she could feel it. I remember just as clear as day, we was on the water train, And this man walked past us, and she just immediately started screaming. I was like, oh my goodness, baby, calm down, be quiet, calm down. In the grocery store one time, a lady touched her hand. She was a little baby. She like looked at the lady's hand and rolled her eyes up at the lady like, please don't touch me. About 18 months. Like, her whole life, she just was able to talk and verbalize things with her facial expressions. Like, even if she didn't give you her words, you knew by the way she was looking at you that that's something that I don't agree with. So, me being her parent, I always misconstrued that as her being upset. So, even whenever I saw her with this look on her face, I'd be like, okay, you mad. And she'd be like, I'm not mad. I'm like, girl, you mad. You looking mad. You acting mad. Are you mad? And she would always say, I'm not mad. But we had a conversation last night where she said she eventually turned into that angry person because we were always stereotyping her or judging her according to her facial expressions. She's like, so I became that mad, angry person. I'm gonna give y'all what y'all want, basically. Since you keep saying that's who I am, that's who I am. And so she went through a period of time where she was very nonverbal. She wrote, journaled. I mean, she didn't have any type of medical ailments to make her stop talking. She was just minimally, she gonna give you the bare minimum in conversation. You gonna get one word answers. You're going to have to ask specific questions to get the answer that you want. It was no conversation. It was no dialogue. It was, I'm in my world. I'm not accepted in your world. So I'm going to be here in my world. And that was probably about 10 years, I would say. And I would still tell her, oh, you mad? And she'd be like, I'm not mad. And sometimes she would cry. And sometimes she would make me cry. Sometimes we'd be crying together. Because as a parent, when you have multiple children, some people, you know, treat their kids the same. They all get the same treatment. But as a parent, you have to know how to give children what they need. If all four of my children need something different from me. So I had to learn all of their behaviors, all of their personality traits to give them each individually, specifically what they needed from me. So I just did a lot of soul searching, a lot of praying, a lot. Like I need to reach Makalia, I need to reach Malik, I need to reach Maya, I need to reach Zachary, you know, where they are. Because as parents, it's our job to prepare our children for the world. So, and I know I feel like I'm going left, but we still talking about family hurt. So, I just worked and worked as I could with Makalia, and we finally got to a place where I would say, okay, I'm not going to say it, but you acting like it, you know. And then we got to a place where we haven't completely evolved, because even this morning, because when Makalia gets upset, she do, sometimes she really do be upset. She's just like me. And I even told them the other day, some time ago, we all had the same emotions. We all had the same feelings. We just have different responses. My oldest son, Malik, when he get upset, he turned into a drill sergeant. We laugh about it because when we go on vacation, he be nutting up. When it's time to pack the car, he nut up, completely up. Everybody be looking like, okay, he done went into that mode. But Makalia and myself both, we cry. We are very emotional. We shed tears. We can't understand why we're...
I feel like Maya too.
Yeah, Maya. Oh. Maya. Me and Makalia might be an 8. Maya about... About 16 on the emotion. Oh, but we are Zachary, he kind of like Malik. He kind of get like angry when he experience his emotion. But anyway, we all got the same emotions, but we need to learn how to deal with each other. That's what I tell them. We need to learn how to see each other where we are. But this morning, we was getting ready to come here, to come to record. And Michaela was trying to do something. Whenever she's got a lot going on, she just like me. She don't want to be bothered. She don't want nobody to talk to her. She just want to do and feel whatever she's feeling. And if you disturbing that, you're going to get that look. And so I got that look this morning. I'm like, okay, I ain't going to say nothing else to you because you're mad. So I said, let's close our eyes and pray. And in the middle of my prayer, the Holy Spirit said, you did it again. And I said, God, forgive me. And when I opened my eyes, I said, I'm sorry because I judged you again. And because you weren't mad, you just overwhelmed.
Just like, trying to find
some you know, but a lot of times, going back to the original point, people are hurt. They don't know. You might be hurt. They might be hurt. Don't nobody know why each other are hurt. Ain't nobody had a conversation to talk about the hurt. It's just easier to withdraw and say, I'm not going to deal with that. I'm not going to go there for the holiday. I'm not going to their house. I've been there, done that. Or I'm going to invite a particular family member to my house and not the other family member. The other day, myself, I love to use the excuse, I was not invited. That just give me the whole reason to be like, oh, they didn't invite me. My cousin committee can say, cuz so and so said they having dinner, da 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 da. But they didn't call me. They didn't invite me. And I actually was going through that same situation a couple of weeks ago. And the Holy Spirit said, you need to stop, grow up. Because you know as well as I know, when you planning an event, you cannot contact everybody. Somebody's going to be left out. But you know that's your family. And you know they would like to have you there. So if they didn't pick up the phone and say, Kim, come, you need to go because the invitation was still extended to me. And I was like, but they didn't call me. But I'm so grateful to know God because you can continue to think that you're going to be who you are or who you want to be, but he would definitely change you from the inside out. Mm-hmm. And I did end up going. And the Holy Spirit told me, and the next time you have a platform, you need to talk about how that makes you feel. Because some people are sitting there like, oh, I didn't get an invitation. All in their feelings, upset, hurt. And the other people don't even know what's going on.
Yeah, y'all. So that's really that. Like, make sure y'all just try to forgive. I feel like the world is so, like, focused all the time on focusing on you, and everybody's so quick to, we have a very strong cut them off culture, protect your peace culture, and that's helpful too, obviously. But then also, I don't think we think about enough, like, how forgiveness actually affects you too. To be holding all this hurt, to be holding all this, like, resentment towards people, it's also not helpful for you either. So ultimately, we just gotta learn about it and work on it, both for ourselves, but also for, like, that community building that we're all striving for, that world where we're all one and we're working together and we love each other and it's obvious, you know. It don't come easy, but forgiveness is gonna be a big part of it.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, you don't know how these things affect your body.
True.
Illnesses, cancers, all type of things go wrong in your body from holding on to things that we need to release.
Let us know in the comments, like, how do y'all, like, address forgiveness, but or also what do you feel like is the biggest barrier to you in forgiving folk?
Please comment below. We will answer your comments live on our next podcast. We're actually going to do one where we answer all of your comments, all of your questions. If you have any topics that you want to hear us discuss, comment.
Let us know.
Please like, share, and subscribe.
Thank you for joining us on the Figuring It Out With You podcast.